folks may express some heartburn about having to pay to park, to play tennis there, or to use those spots. The converse argument is I think I've learned this from you, but if you've got 1,400 regulated spots and you only put meters on 1,000, what you're actually perversely doing is displacing a lot more use on the other 400, which would then have the effect of being displaced into the neighborhood, which we'd like to avoid with a comprehensive plan.
So thank you. The other question was about process and how long the parking meter portion of this has been out for public comment, and how has it been out?
Right. So as the commissioner summarized, there's been a series of meetings throughout the past, 23 meetings that he's identified. We started talking about a comprehensive approach to all the issues in Washington Park in September 2011. And then in March 2012 is the first time we talked about paid parking park-wide. Then in June, we met individually with the Sylvan Highlands Neighborhood Association to go through the business terms of the proposed agreement in front of you. Those business terms that we shared with them identified the 1,400 parking spaces park-wide and how we would use those revenues to reinvest. What we didn't have at that time was a detailed document like we have in front of you today. And part of that was because we're still negotiating with all the venues in Washington Park to get that completed agreement, of which those boards voted in September and October. And
so when was this actually put together, the plan that we're looking at?
So that document in final form, the first time it was public, was in front of the Metro Council. And since then, we
was when?
I have to go back and look. November 8th.
November 8th. So, playing the devil's advocate, why wouldn't you have distributed to the neighborhoods at that time to respond to?
Honestly, it was about finalizing the legal arrangements between the parties. So up until days before it went to Metro Council, our city attorney and the Metro Council were refining language to make sure.
Completely understandable. Then why wouldn't you have distributed it at that point?
That's when it was distributed, when we went to Metro Council.
To the neighborhoods, November 12th.
November 8th.
November
8th. Public.
To the neighborhoods.
November and there was then a full public hearing at Metro on that.
Right.
On
that's
that
right.
Document.
That's right.
And were the people that are here testifying now about a lack of public process notified about that November 8th meeting?
Unfortunately, they were notified shortly before, I believe on the 7th, and they were present at the Metro meeting, gave testimony, and then we had a meeting immediately following the council meeting over at Metro with the folks you see today, two of them, two of the four. So I guess I just want to emphasize that the business terms that we've talked about were shared in June. In July, there was an Oregonian story about paid parking. It was,
So in June, when you presented what you characterized as the business terms, did
correct.
You say we're going to be proposing 1,400
yes.
Parking meters, and did you identify where those would be?
So, yes, we showed a map, and actually there was, I believe it was July 6th, is when the Oregonian story ran, and then there was TV coverage that night, and it talked about 1,400 parking spaces in Washington Park.
I'm asking in June when you characterized as you presented the business plan. Did you, at that point, was part of presenting the business plan, identifying 1,400 meters, and you said yes. And then
yes.
I asked, did you show them where they would be?
Yeah, so I've been bringing a map to our meetings showing the parking locations in the park and outlining the paid parking areas.
So you identified that. And
yes.
So did you distribute that to the people at the meeting, or was it just a map?
We just had a large, 3-foot by 4-foot map that was shown on the wall. And I've been carrying around that map to all our meetings explaining that.
Can I ask the duration of the parking meters? Like, what is the maximum time one would be able to?
Actually, this gets to exactly, I think, the tension we feel of how much detail to put into agreement versus how high level you want to have it. Mm-hmm. So we haven't determined that duration decision. because we think the TMA forum is the best place to have those types of discussions. Mm-hmm. I think we had to provide enough structure to show what the general proposal was. And one of the ideas is, do you have the same duration throughout the park? One of the principles that's in this document in front of you is we need to keep it simple for customers and visitors to Washington Park so they understand that we don't have four or five different charging rates and different durations throughout the park to make it overly complicated. But there may...
I get that, but you know, if you want to park downtown, it can be overly complicated because one block's 90 minutes, one's 3 hours.
That's right.
So I guess I'm just trying to get at, I want to make sure people can buy a sufficient amount of time in a meter to match their experience.
And that's right.
As somebody said, not to worry about getting a parking ticket if they're, you know, going on a 90-minute hike or something.
Our hope, Commissioner Saltzman, is with the partners at the table on the TMA and the partners knowing, for example, having information about, for example, how long does someone who comes to Hoyt normally spend? Or we don't want to punish people for coming to these partner organizations. Mm-hmm. We want the TMA to help figure out what are those sweet spots where someone can, in confidence, park their car, have the full experience, not get a ticket. We're not interested in collecting those revenues.
But it would be safe to say that, I mean, you're going to be able to buy at least an hour or 90
minutes. Right, and yeah. So our proposed strategy for that to be confirmed by the TMA is to start at $1.60 an hour, to have a maximum daily rate of $4, which is the current rate that's charged for visitors that are coming to the World Forestry Center, Children's Museum, and the zoo now during fall, winter, and spring. During peak season, which is summer, although the Children's Museum's peak is actually January, not summer, so the lot does fill up, the peak season for the entire park then would go to $6.40 for the entire day. And the reasoning behind that is twofold. One is to keep it simple, and so keep it at a price point that is affordable, and also if someone wants to go and have a 2.5-hour experience, they can just pay their $4 and not worry about having to come back and pay the pay station. The other is to discourage park and ride visitors to the park during peak times when we don't have the parking inventory in the park, and so that $6.40 we think will discourage that. If you go to the north end now, at the Park Avenue entrance, you'll see cars that are parked there that are using it as a park and ride to go downtown. So the circle is surrounded by cars. There's not any people there. People are just parking there now because they're avoiding the Goose Hollow neighborhood parking permit program.
Well, I don't understand what you just said there.
Okay.
Because if it's a maximum of $4 a day, that's 2.5 hours at $1.60.
Correct.
I used to spend a lot longer at the zoo with my kids.
That's right.
So how would you know?
That's the most you'd have to pay.
So my meter's expired, and how did they
know that? It won't expire. When you pay that $4, so your option will be $1.60, $3.20, $4 all day, and that all day will allow you to stay as long as you want.
So why would somebody who wants to commute downtown not pay that?
Because we think that the $6.40 is a high enough price to discourage people from parking at the park and then getting on a bus or riding their bike or getting on MAX, where today I paid $9.25 across from the art museum. For that extra increment of $2, I'll go ahead and pay the extra charge downtown rather than going through the inconvenience of having to get on another mode of transportation to get to my destination.
I do think that this discussion evidences the neighborhood's request and mine at the previous hearing to have some representatives on the TMA who don't live and work in the district. Mm-hmm. So that's all. We will have some more discussions about that. I just have some questions about the logistics of the budgeting and the management of the money by the TMA from the latest draft. It says on page 16 that the Portland Parks Director or the Metro and the Metro Chief Operating Officer will designate and approve the TMA recommended budget and annual parking rate structure. But then on page 17, it says the TMA will contract with this. It says the TMA will contract with the city for accounting and financial management and will provide an annual budget for submission to the city as part of the city's budget process.
Right.
So what we're setting up an independent nonprofit to manage millions of dollars of parking revenue.
So let me clarify. All of the parking revenues that come from the pay stations come into a city-controlled account. And then the city, through Portland Parks and Recreation, will have an agreement with the Transportation Management Association that is an independent nonprofit for the allocation of their funding on an annual basis. I like to use the example similar of Pioneer Courthouse Square. We have a nonprofit organization, Pioneer Courthouse Square, Inc., that manages the square for us. We have a management agreement with them that has a five-year and a five-year renewal. On an annual basis, City Council approves how much each year that we'll allocate to them on an annual basis.
So does this agreement include a five-year go back and see how it's working, and does it include annual reports to Council on what they've done?
Right. So for the Transportation Management Association, we will be giving reports back to Council to get our allocation for the future year through the budget process.
And then they will be giving us a report on what they've done
and
such. And continuing on the logistics, it says that the TMA will retain a professional full-time executive director and part-time staff, 1.5 staff. Before there's parking meter money, how will that happen? What will pay for that?
So right now, existing staff from all of the existing venues have been doing this work for many, many years based on our existing staff costs. And so until we hire a person, we won't make expenditures on that person until the parking meters go live.
So who will be organizing the formation of the TMA?
Portland Parks and Recreation staff, Metro staff, the existing zoo staff, and then we'll have the neighborhood participation. So we've asked the neighborhoods to suggest representatives. And so in January, we would have our TMA formation process beginning with neighborhood involvement.
And was it your intent to bring the TMA to the membership of the TMA to Council?
So no, and there's a reason for that. We've set this up for the Transportation Management Association to be an independent nonprofit and not an agent of the city. And so we right now, based on approval from City Attorney's Office, have our representation and then the approval of two of the neighborhood representations. But the way the document's proposed now is all the other organizations have their director or their designee from the director of those organizations have their own representation. So if we were to take on the city nominating and approving all of the board members, it would no longer be an independent nonprofit. It would be an agent of the city.
Okay, and it says on page 20 that the pay stations will be installed by spring of 2013. Is that date realistic?
So after we have approval from, or if we get approval from City Council, we have authorization to move forward from all the other organizations that are in this document, and the next step is to place an order for pay stations and do installations, of which we've had preliminary conversations with PBOT to have their staff assist us in doing the installations. Right now there's a couple locations where Portland Parks and Recreations and PBOT work together, and they provide the installation services for us.
When we have to buy them?
Yes.
That would take a while.
If we get the approval, we'll be able to use a contract that's existing to order the pay stations.
And where does the money come from up front?
That's part of our ordinance presentation here is for parks to pay that money up front and get repaid through the revenues from the parking.
Okay. Well, in light of your comment that the council cannot, if that's what I'm understanding from the city attorney, even initially approve the membership of the TMA?
It's not, it's a legal question, Commissioner. It's not that we can't.
Asking.
It changes the status of the entity we're creating. And just as we don't currently approve the nominees and board members of Pioneer Courthouse Square or other nonprofit entities that assist us, the legal opinion we got is if the council were to review and approve those nominations, it would change the legal relationship, and they would no longer be what we intend them to be, an independent nonprofit acting with us but one step removed from us, and it would make them an agent. And so we've been cautioned against doing that because it changes the liability and authority issues.
So then in that case, Commissioner Saltzman's amendment is one that I would support, that then the neighborhood associations must get to choose their own.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to accept that as a friendly amendment. I think.
Before you go too far.
It's been misconstrued to suggest that we're trying to control the neighborhood association. But go ahead.
But before you become too conciliatory, I would point out that that it is a standard process in the city, whether it's budget advisory committees, whether it's our PURB Public Utility Review Board, to have a commissioner in charge appoint to them. And I can tell you that in my experience, there has been two or three times that that has been a valuable tool. And I will, and not because I want to control what people do or do not do or say or do not say. I have a history of appointing people who sometimes violently disagree with me. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to make the transition after I've appointed them, either to, for an example, the Water Bureau Budget Advisory Committee or the PURB, to interact professionally. And in fact, in a couple instances, dominated the meetings and shot down other people that were on the Budget Advisory Committee to such an extent I had to literally have them removed from the committee and appoint somebody new. So I understand the concerns articulated, but it's, to me, a very important tool to be able to certainly appoint people that are reflective of the community, but also, more importantly, to make sure you have people that are there that are being responsible, respectful, and interacting on an appropriate basis. And I, and therefore, I couldn't support.
Commissioner Leonard, can I ask you a question on that?
Yeah.
And again, there was no intent to interfere with the orderly process of designating someone, but the argument that's been raised here before us is that one class of members are treated differently than others. As I read the language, I don't see any particular reason why we couldn't just tweak it to say all representatives are subject to approval by the PPNR commissioner. In fact, I mean, there's a designation process, but we were not suggesting that the neighborhood's representatives were any more problematic than anyone else's.
Right. No, I think that's entirely.
It actually follows the tradition, so I'd be happy to change it so that all the nominations are subject to nominal approval. And let's understand, approval doesn't mean that I'm going to interfere with the process. It just means that there's a minimal amount of screening that goes on to make sure the person's prepared to make the commitment. Is prepared to serve.
And in my experience, it's less as much influence that one as a commissioner in charge exerts over who's there as it is to make sure the people that are there are.
Mike, what was your reaction to that?
I think we could. I understand the attempt. I want to make sure this has gone to Metro Council with this structure, and we have many partners at play here. And
I understand that, yeah. But I think since we're in a unique situation where it looks like we're going to go to a vote next week because we've had new testimony today, I think we could go back and double check to make sure that is not considered a material change. It doesn't trigger having to go back to Metro, get people's comfort level, and I'd be willing to advance that.
Does that make them agents of the city?
I'm not an attorney, so I think we should ask the city attorney.
It's not. I'm not acting on behalf. It's not coming to council. It is simply a mechanism to ensure that there is some minimal level of commitment to the process, and I'm happy to expend that to all the people who are nominated for service.
Frankly, I'm comfortable with the language as it is.
I guess I like the idea of the neighborhoods appointing their own representatives, notwithstanding, you know, nightmare experiences around Mount Tabor and open reservoirs. There's something that resonates with me about each agency being able to pick their representative. So Metro is going to pick their own representative. It shouldn't necessarily have to be screened by the city in any capacity. Japanese Garden, Forestry Center, Children's Museum, Sylvan Highlands Neighborhood Association, Arlington Heights. I like the idea of them choosing their own representatives, free and unfettered by any screen at the.
Well,
city.
That's actually not what the document currently provides, because it and I think this is the problem with picking one issue and going on the fly. The specific language says that the director of those organizations will serve. So it's very prescriptive. Okay. They don't actually have the freedom other than to select their director. This, to me, is not... Mayor, I'm happy to go with Council Will on this if you want to poll the council. To me, it's not... It's six of one, half dozen of the other. It has been, I think, unfairly characterized as somehow a restriction on the neighborhoods or casting
doubt.
Can you point
me, is it 7.2?
7.2.
What page is it on?
16.
And where does it talk about the neighborhood representative shall be nominated?
It says
citizenship shall be nominated by the
shall be nominated and approved by the PPNR commissioner.
So if we were to just say shall be, I'm going to ask it discreetly, should the neighborhoods be able to just appoint their own representative without subject to approval of the commissioner in charge?
I mean, in my view, they nominate who they want, and then it's approved by the PPNR commission. I'm fine with that language.
Okay. I think the problem is where that language occurs. I think that it says the director of the organization or his or her designee. So that could allow for a member of the zoo or the children's museum to be designated on the board. I'm still very concerned that there isn't any at-large representation of people.
But I'm asking a narrow question about should the – we'll get to that, I promise. I'm trying to do this in a somewhat orderly fashion. So in terms of the neighborhood representatives, do you want them to be approved by the Board of Commissioners or just whoever they select?
It's not an either-or. I want them all to be approved. They have to be treated the same way as everybody else.
So do you want them all approved by the parks director or none of them approved?
I think she's saying that she would like to see 7.2 modified.
From her.
I would like to see.
They're all subject to PPNR.
I want her to hear from her.
Well, what I was going
to say. We'll get back to your bigger question, but for now, would you prefer them all to be approved by,
Yes.
Okay, all approved by the, all or nothing or.
I want the neighborhoods to be able to appoint their own representatives.
Okay.
And Mayor, what I'm comfortable with is a language that says all nominations are subject to the approval of the PPNR conditional commissioner, which approval shall not be unreasonably withheld.
Okay. I'm going to take that as a motion, and I'm going to second it. And I'm going to call the vote and see if we can move on to another issue related to this. Carla, would you please take the vote on the motion?
Could you restate the motion, please?
Everyone, he said everyone is subject to the approval of the Parks Commissioner.
Which approval shall not be unreasonably withheld.
Which approval shall not be reasonably withheld.
Unreasonably.
Unreasonably withheld. Carla, can you call the vote on that motion?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
As I said, I believe the neighborhoods should be able to appoint their own people without any screening, so I vote no.
Adams?
Aye. All right, that not, do you any other amendments?
I'm concerned that this is being set up now when there hasn't been a lot. Well, there's been 3 weeks of discussion of this particular something, and I'm wondering if there might be value in discussing doing what has been proposed in the Northwest Parking Plan, which is setting things up with a come back to council after 5 years to become totally independent.
So is there a second, assuming that was made in the form of a motion, which means, if I might add, is some of our TMAs are not nonprofits, and I think some are, so there's a choice. And you've heard a little bit of the discussion about their pluses and minuses to those. So is there a second for that idea? Okay. Are there other potential amendments?
Yes. Well, it's a question, and maybe not an amendment, but so the TMA executive director and the staff person are not, they are employees of a nonprofit. They are not public employees.
That's right.
So there's no expectation that the executive director and the staff person would have PERS benefits, city benefits, metro benefits.
Hopefully there'll be minimum wage, no health benefits, no pension. We'll just try our darndest to make sure that happens.
As long as they're not agents of the city.
We're not changing any of
them. Well, they wouldn't be. Oh, yeah, as long as they're not agents of the city. But so we do need to check about that PPNR appointment or screening. But anyway, so notwithstanding that,
we have an attorney right here.
They are an employee of the nonprofit.
Correct.
And the benefits are not PERS.
Any problems with the screening? I can answer your question.
Maybe I will go back to work.
So to be clear, I'm not Park's attorney, and I've not been involved in this at all. And my understanding of the motion was, and I was trying to get a hold of Harry at the same time as somebody made a motion, so let me clarify. The motion was to add language to the citizen provision, which says the approval would not be unreasonably withheld.
It's all members now.
All members.
It currently says that some members are subject to my approval.
So
that was approved by council. We're just saying all
members. I will say that as somebody who has not been involved in this at all, that causes some concern. I'm not certain that it's the act of it going to council that makes it an agent of the city. Having it approved by the commissioner may, in fact, have that same effect.
That was the language that council approved. So in the intervening week, we will clarify with the city attorney that this does not change the legal relationship.
So I want to get back to the employment status of the employees. So when we have nonprofits that are quasi city entities, for lack of a better word, who in the case of the Children's Levy, for an example, executive director, how are they treated in terms of their employment?
Well, it's not a 501c3 nonprofit. It's an office within the city.
I can answer that.
They're PERS employees.
They're city employees.
Yep. So why would we not?
Children's Levy is supported by public dollars.
Yeah. Well,
why wouldn't?
Well, what is this? What's this? I mean, this. Why wouldn't these?
This is supported by parking meter revenue,
which is public dollars. Last I checked.
Subject to is it property tax?
Is the executive director of the Lloyd TMA?
The question I have.
He's a consultant contract.
So I can answer it at least for, we have many.
And if you don't mind,
sure.
As the facilitator of this meeting, we've been joined by the very esteemed Harry Auerbach. I don't think you saw him out of the corner. And I would, so our question is, first question is, if a nonprofit's membership is subject to the screening approval that is not unreasonably withheld, does that kick in things we wouldn't want in terms of it is therefore a de facto creature of the city?
Harry, a yes or a no might be a satisfactory answer.
Well, if I was a lawyer, if I wasn't a lawyer, maybe I could give you that answer. The answer is maybe.
How could it be maybe if you've approved language that says two of the members are subject to, how could it be maybe if we simply expand that to include everybody?
Because the test of whether the entity becomes the alter ego of the city depends on how much control you have over it. And the more control you exercise, the greater your risk that you're turning it into a city alter ego. And therefore, as long as we only have a minority representation, we're fairly comfortable that you're not exposing yourselves to the risk of being the employer of all of the nonprofit's employees and being liable for its liabilities. But to the extent that you control its functions, that risk increases substantially.
Having screening approval of all the would potentially trip that wire.
I would say that was a risk.
And generally held view up here that we want to treat all the folks the same. So the sponsor of this, do you agree we should treat all positions the same, and would you entertain?
I appreciate this discussion. I would, Mayor, if you would like, why don't we just take 7.2 and delete the language and approve by the PPR commissioner so everyone's treated the same?
It's been moved and seconded, and we will rescind the earlier amendment.
Do we have to move to reconsider?
I'm looking, yes. No.
No, we did the opposite.
I'm going to consult with the city attorney on the process. I appreciate everyone chiming in. Your voices are all beautiful in the cacophony that they are.
It would be cleanest if you would have someone move on the prevailing side, which is all of you, to move to reconsider.
Vote on that.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to reconsider the previous motion related to 7.2. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. I recognize Commissioner Nick Fish for a motion.
Amend 7.2 to delete the phrase and approved by the PPNR commissioner in line 6.
Don't we have to first vote to annul the amendment?
We already did that.
We've reconsidered. We agreed to reconsider.
Yeah, that was
reconsider?
You did reconsider. Then the next step is to
annul
the amendment. Get rid of the old.
Thank you.
Finally, somebody's giving me useful procedural advice here.
That second.
So we're moving. You were right,
honorary parliamentarian next year?
No.
I have four honorary parliamentarians up here. So, Carla, would you please call the vote on removing the amendment?
or on the amendment. We are considering the amendment anew. So if you don't like the amendment, you vote no.
The old amendment.
The old amendment.
Okay.
Leonard.
No. Actually, you vote
no.
Yeah. Is it no, no or right. Yes? No. Okay. No.
Fine. Ha! You were wrong for once.
Roberts rules are so good. No.
Fish.
No.
Saltzman.
No.
Adams.
No. I recognize Commissioner Nick Fish for a motion.
Here I move an amendment to 7.2 of the agreement, lines 5 and 6, strike and approve by the PPNR Commissioner.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Does that resolve the issues you're concerned? Okay.
As well as they can be resolved.
Okay.
Carla, can you please call a vote on the motion?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I can hardly wait to read the Mercury Blogtown live blog of this. Aye.
Fish?
That worries me, Amanda. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right.
So I want to get back to the issue I was raising about the status of the
yes.
employees. Since Harry's here, is there some prohibition from them being public employees?
There's not a prohibition. The idea is that if you don't plan for them, budget for them to be public employees, you wind up with liabilities if you wind up, in fact, being their employer because you the degree of control you exercise.
Harry, that's a slightly different
okay.
question that you're answering, but maybe useful. This our nonprofits that we have contracts with are subject to the living wage ordinance still, are they not?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I would ask, is the executive director of Pioneer Courthouse Square covered by PERS and city
no.
benefit?
No.
How is that person compensated? What's
through the corporation. The executive director of Pioneer Courthouse Square is paid by the nonprofit.
I didn't mean how so much is how is it determined?
By the board of Pioneer Courthouse Square Incorporated.
And so do we know off the top of our heads what, I mean, is there a PERS-like retirement benefit? Is there?
I don't know what her retirement benefits are.
It's not PERS.
But the bigger point I want to make is that I don't want to inadvertently vote for something that's a rush to the bottom.
Right.
How we treat people that
to be competitive.
I don't think what I'm talking about is any way or form a talk about a rush to the bottom. It's simply pointing out that the concern, rightly so, about PERS liabilities and whether there's an obligation for a nonprofit to match city benefits for retirement and health? And I think the answer is no. We're one voting member of a nonprofit. We are not
based on current practice subject to, yes, it's no. I've got other issues I want to raise.
Mayor, can I just respond to Commissioner Leonard?
Did you finish your?
I'm waiting for an answer from Commissioner Fish.
Okay.
Commissioner Leonard, let me use the example of the funds that we invest, city funds, in the service coordination team.
Mm-hmm.
Those monies are invested largely, in part, to nonprofits
mm-hmm.
that in turn provide the services.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are nonprofits, we don't set Kay Turan's compensation and benefits. It's done by the board. Now, she is well compensated for her work. Some of the nonprofits we contract with, like Central City Concern, the employees have exercised their rights under labor laws to organize. And they've brought in a union. They have exercised those rights. They've negotiated collectively. Typically, when we work with a nonprofit TMA, a nonprofit social service provider, a nonprofit housing provider, or what have you, the city doesn't set the terms of compensation. Commissioner Saltzman opened the door on this by wanting to put down a marker, which I would not support because it's not germane to this debate.
Yeah.
But nothing we're doing today alters the existing legal rights of employees of any nonprofit to bargain, to organize and to seek maximum benefits, but I would be opposed to using this format to change anything with respect to those relationships.
Okay.
Are you satisfied?
Yep. Thank you.
All right, Commissioner Fritz.
Just a final question on that. And in 7.4, it says that the TMA will be funded with a base amount of $375,000 adjusted annually, intended to support 1.5 full-time equivalent employees to operate the TMA and provide all services other than the enhanced shuttle service. So what else other than the 1.5 employees does the $375,000 go for?
Right. So this is what will be decided through the Transportation Management Association's board of how to expend those additional funds. And some of the ideas are what kind of incentives can we give out to park visitors and venue visitors to bring to use the max? Are there different discounted rates that we could buy in bulk from TriMet to get more people on out of their cars and other alternative means of transportation? There'll be a new website that will be targeted to the park visitor. So the day you're going to the park, you're going to be able to see 11 o'clock in the morning, the south end parking lot's going to be full. We're going to recommend that you go, if you're coming after 11, that you go on to the off-site shuttle lot or park in another location in the park. So it's going to be pushing out communications as well as buying transit incentives or other programs that enhance the visitor experience at Washington Park.
A big portion of the budget will go to public information, and it could be new signage in the park. It could be, like Todd mentioned, web pages, advertisements, those kinds of things that help people understand how to use the park.
And how are you envisioning getting input from visitors to decide that?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that that the venues themselves are incredibly responsive to their membership. So they know the zoo or the children's museum. They have their finger on the pulse of their users and what's important. So we're going to have the added ability for those organizations to use their communication networks. So the voices of all of the Portland residents are going to be here because they're the folks that go to the zoo and go to the children's museum and the Hoyt Arboretum.
And one of the existing tools that's used by the zoo, for instance, is exit surveys from visitors that are coming to the park. So we know how long the average person stays, how many people come in their vehicle, what percentage of the people take cars, the bus, the max. So right now that's done really well by the zoo, not well for the zoo is about 1.6 million of the 3 million visitors. There's a 1.4 million visitors that we don't really have good understanding. And so this TMA will be doing that survey work with park visitors to identify where our best investments are for transportation programs in Washington Park.
Thank you. And if we could have some more conversation in the intervening week, that would be helpful.
Sure.
So my final question on this piece is, it says that the TMA prepares an annual budget for submission to the city as part of the city's budget process. Am I correct in my understanding that the only thing we would be looking at as the city council is, do the numbers match? We wouldn't have any input into those choices made by the TMA.
As currently happens with other TMAs, for example, the TMA that's in Swan Island, but there's other TMAs, they come to us because we have a fiduciary role to make sure the dollars, that everything adds up, but we do not make executive decisions about spending.
Yeah, I don't recall ever having had a budget discussion about
that. Because these are public dollars, we are ultimately accountable that they are accounting for the money properly. So our function is oversight, we're not the appropriators.
And there'll have to be a contract between the nonprofit and the city for services.
That's right.
So we have
they can report.
The Office of Neighborhood Involvement contracting with independent nonprofits, where I still bear some responsibility to make sure that they do things properly. Will the parks director have that responsibility with the TMA?
In a contractual, you're fine in terms of Harry's issues as long as it's in the contract and it's a contractual relationship.
Just like the director of PBOT on those TMAs, we are ultimately elected responsible for how public dollars are used.
Thank you.
Mayor Adams, I'd like to recognize you for an amendment.
Why, thank you, Mr. Former President of the Council. I would like to, on page 17 of 31, the fourth line where it says web information for alternative modes, and I can put it somewhere else, but transportation-related safety projects. So add four words.
Second.
It says among other things already, so it doesn't preclude transportation-related projects, but based on your concerns, it also doesn't preclude spending money outside the district either, but it doesn't guarantee it either. So it will be an allowed discussion as part of the TMA's work.
Mayor, the reason I second this is this will now be the second place within the text where we are evidencing a desire to go beyond the geographical boundaries of the district to consider impacts of transportation and parking.
Mr. Mayor, I apologize, but could you? Where are we again? Page 17?
On page 17 to 31.
We're fourth line?
We're in item number 8. We're the fourth line down. Begins with the words, and web information for alternative modes.
Got it.
Insert transportation-related safety projects, comma. It's been moved and seconded. Unless there's discussion, Carla, would you please?
No quick question. Because you said it is intended to be including outside of the district.
It allows, there's nothing, I read this and I don't see anything that prohibits this organization from making mission-related investments outside the district.
Does it say that anywhere else?
We haven't limited the TMA to have that. Of course, we'll document this again through our contractual agreement between the city and the TMA.
Let it herefore be known as my legislative intent of this.
We have legislative hint. We also have a letter that's been furnished to council.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Carla, can you please call the roll on the amendment, proposed amendment?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Any other work on council, questions, comments, final thoughts?
Mayor Adams, it was my intention to request the council slap an emergency ordinance on this so we could vote on it today. Based on the conversation we've had, the progress we've made, I would prefer that we take this to a second reading next week. And if there's any further questions that my colleagues have, clarification, we'll address those and we'll take it up for a final vote next week if that's the will of the mayor.
Is that all right with everyone? Sounds good. Thanks. Can you please, Carla, move to further consideration. Carla, can you please read the item that was pulled?
Item 1318.
And Dan Bauer, can you come up?
Authorize multiple applications to the Oregon Department of Transportation for grants in the amount of up to $39.125 million for transportation enhancement projects.
And if the parks folks could please stay.
Parks folks?
Todd Lofgren.
They're running out of the door.
Yeah, I know.
Speak.
I apologize.
There's a question about the parks.
Didn't raise this before, but this is the item that was pulled 1318. One of the proposed projects is $1 million for the shuttle service. And I just wondered what you're planning to spend $1 million on the shuttle service.
Right. In our grant application.
Identify yourself, Todd.
Sorry. Todd Lofgren, Property and Business Development Manager, Portland Parks and Recreation. In our grant proposal, we're looking at three alternative powered shuttle buses that we look for purchase, as well as installing additional shuttle stops in the park. So again, part of our vision for Washington Park is to connect the entire park through an inter-park shuttle service and to leverage the parking revenues that we collect and look at other funding sources as well. And so this was one opportunity where we could use matching funding from parking revenues to leverage this grant application for parking shuttles and shuttle stops.
Thank you. And maybe my other question is regarding the whole application. What's the purpose of the State Transportation Improvement Projects Fund?
This is a new fund.
Can you identify yourself?
I'm sorry. I'm Dan Bauer. I manage the Active Transportation Group at PBOT. This is a new grant opportunity where the state of Oregon has essentially consolidated all their transportation grants into one pool called Enhance. They've put the rest of their funding into another bucket called Fix It, and those are safety dollars and things for money for fixing projects. That's not a competitive grant pool. This Enhance pot is a competitive grant pool. It combines everything from congestion mitigation, bike ped, safe routes to school, road modernization, transportation enhancements, and trails into one project, one grant application. So you'll see our portfolio of projects is bike ped projects, there's road safety, there's a couple freight safety projects, as well as some trails projects through parks. And so it's a bundle of, I think we ended up applying for 14 different projects for years 2016 through 18.
And how did you prioritize them, and how did the shuttle purchase get on the list?
We've been working with parks since the get-go. This was announced in September. We held joint meetings with our bicycle and pedestrian advisory committees, as well as the freight advisory committee. We also worked with parks and Metro and TriMet and others to make sure that they ran their projects through our advisory committee's processes. So our advisory committees have seen this list and prioritized.
So this is the only TriMet project on here?
No, this is a city project from Portland Parks. TriMet has two separate applications that are not on this list because they're TriMet applications.
Okay, but the advisory committees have seen the entire list and the
Correct.
Coalitions and such have input
Correct.
Into it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Unless there are additional discussions, this is an emergency ordinance. Carla, can you please? We need testimony. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I appreciate the clarification. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Approved. We're in recess till 2 p.m.
And thank you for this. Go for
it. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's talk for a second.
Just listen to me before you get all out of shape. Just listen to me.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. I can't think of a way to do an outlook. I really agree with you, as I said last time. But to do the at-large position, I wonder if...
Good job, and if there is a desire,
we sure. Yeah, because you could go inside and play for hours, right? You put plaza and run around with
one. Very helpful.
Plaza, but you get tired of your plaza. So I really think that there needs to be. I don't know. Yeah, and so.
Which we do routinely for everything. And if we miss those opportunities, then the ones that are accepted and reject. So what we do is park all kinds of things. And it doesn't mean that children accept the funding that comes in. It means there's an opportunity. And if we don't get that funding,